Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, unto the ages of all ages, Amen. Good morning. It's definitely a joy to be back and to see my church family. May God bless each and every one for their labor of love and their kindness. Today's meditation is entitled, Wisdom is Justified by Her Children. And this is being inspired by today's gospel, which is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7, verses 28 to 35. And just before I speak about today's gospel, I wanted to shake things up a little bit and to do a meditation that's not very traditional. I know when we come on a Sunday morning, we expect a talk or a lecture where it is one way. The Father is speaking from the pulpit and everyone is kind of taking things in. But some of the things that I've been experiencing in the last couple of weeks is that learning cannot only be one way or one directional. It has to be collaborative and it has to be engaging, and there has to be discussion based. Now, of course, in a church on a Sunday morning, it's impossible to discuss with everyone. So I thought that just to break up the meditation a bit, I wanted to form groups of two or maximum of three. And I will interject the meditation with three questions. And each one of these questions will be discussed amongst this little group. So the groups could be made up of family members who are sitting beside each other. It could be made up of friends. It could be made up of the church family, someone that you don't know. But if you don't mind just looking around you, because one of the themes of this church is that no one stands alone. So make sure that you connect with someone who's sitting in front of you or beside you or behind you, so that every time I ask a question, you're able to discuss together. Children are a great part, actually, of these small little groups because parents could mentor them and could speak with them. So can you just take a quick minute to connect with one or maximum two people whom will be in your group? Okay? So whenever I ask a question, you will actually discuss together. Thank you. Are we good? Does anyone not have a discussion partner? One person? Okay, look behind you, please, or beside you. Okay, make sure you connect together. We can have groups of threes. If you have a group of four, then you split up into two because the time is not a lot. Okay, are we good? Anyone else does not have a discussion partner? We're all good? Okay, so let's go back to today's gospel. And usually in the beginning of the Coptic year, the first saint that we celebrate is John the Baptist. You'll find that the first Sunday readings are always focused on the virtues of St. John the Baptist. And our Lord Jesus was speaking in this gospel about the righteousness of John the Baptist, that he is the greatest born amongst women. But he turned to the Pharisees and the people who were critics. There are always people who like to criticize, who don't like anything. If you go right, they say left. If you go left, they say right. And their own thinking is just, they justify themselves through criticizing others and through making sure that by belittling others, they are great. They don't have any accomplishments themselves. Sometimes we call them armchair critics. You know, these are like the people who sit behind their personal computer at home on their armchair, and they go and criticize everyone and everything. And they want to show that everyone, the whole world is going to desolation. No one is doing righteousness. But you are just sitting on your chair. You're not doing anything positive. Get up from your chair and start impacting people and start impacting the world that is around you. And the Lord Jesus looked specifically at a little game which the children used to play in the marketplace. So the marketplace at that time used to be a gathering place for all the kids to come together, like parks nowadays, or skateboard parks, you know, where youth or kids can just get together and play games or go on slides or swings. So in that time, the kids were gathered in the marketplace and they would sing. You know, a group of kids will start the song and then the other group are going to respond. So the Lord Jesus likened those critics by the little children who sing this song, saying, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not weep. So we tried everything with you to satisfy you, but you were never satisfied at the end." And then the Lord reflected this saying back to him and to John the Baptist. And he said John the Baptist was an ascetic. He was a man who lived in the wilderness. He ate bugs, locusts. He dressed in camel skin. He was a very ascetic man. And they actually criticized him and they ultimately condemned him to die. Our Lord Jesus was not someone who is, really a glutton, no. But he lived, they said things about him such as, you know, he ate normal food. He drank with the people normal drinks. He walked with them. He was not someone who lived in the wilderness. And also they criticized him and they said to him that he is a drunkard or a wine bibber or a glutton. But one of the best designations that they actually designed the Lord Jesus is that they said to him that he is a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And I love this designation because the Lord, even though I hope it's true, that the Lord Jesus didn't just want to hang out with the best people, the top people, the righteous people, but he wanted to hang out with the disenfranchised, those who have no voice, those who are pushed away from mainstream society. He loved them, he cared for them, and he wanted to extend to them the good news that the kingdom of God is now here. And then the Lord concluded this passage by saying, "But wisdom is justified by all her children." Now, if we look at the rest of today's readings, we come across to a beautiful saying by St. Paul to his disciple Timothy. And this is in the Pauline epistle today, 1 Timothy 1:15. It says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance." This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And we look at the life of St. Paul and we say, St. Paul, you are the one who was transformed through an apparition, a beautiful apparition by Jesus on your way to Damascus. But it awakened in him something, that he was a sinner, that he was not a worthy man. He was fighting to go in a direction. He thought that he was zealous for the religion of his forefathers, but it came to a point in his life when he said, "Lord, forgive me, for I'm a sinner." And this was a point of transformation to him, where he came to his senses as the Lord Jesus shined his light around him. And he confessed, saying that Jesus came to the world to save sinners, among whom I am chief. And in light also of the fact that the Pharisees and the scribes accused Jesus of being a friend of tax collectors and of sinners, here we come to our first question and what we did in the beginning of this meditation. If you're just joining us, whether it's online, joining us online, you're here in the church, I want us to get into small groups of two or maximum three people to discuss some of the questions. You'll take just 1 minute to share together, each one of you, something about your own personal feelings. And I want to make sure that we dig deeper, okay? I just said dig deeper beyond the common answers. I didn't want to say like the Sunday school answers, because Sunday school now is amazing and they really take the kids much deeper. But here's our first discussion question. How can we be assured of God's love to us despite our weaknesses and our faults? The Lord Jesus assured us that he is a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And St. Paul said that Jesus Christ came to save the world, the sinners of whom I am first chief. So if you can take a minute, please, to discuss in your small group, how can we be assured of God's love to us despite our weaknesses and our faults? Please go ahead and take a minute now to do so. You know, one of the greatest gifts of our Christian faith and journey is the word grace. The word grace. And this is one of the most beautiful gifts that we have in Christ Jesus, that our salvation that our foundation in Christ is not based on our own merits or our own works, but it's based on His abundant grace, a free gift that Christ offers to each and every one of us without necessarily being merited. Our merit comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed for us on the wood of the cross. And that's why it's really important part of our spiritual Christian journey to be assured of God's love to us despite our own weaknesses. And that St. Paul was assured that Christ died for him despite the fact that he had many weaknesses. This does not make us not caring or, just say, okay, just Jesus did it. No, it's now an obligation for us to continue walking in righteousness and in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. A couple of weeks ago, I had the blessing of traveling with a wonderful group of young adults to Switzerland, where we got to behold the impact of St. Maurice and St. Verena on Switzerland and all of Western Europe. It was really enlightening, and all of us loved that experience. Today, by the way, we celebrate the feast of our intercessor, our patron, St. Verena, and we have her relics here. I hope we can continue to take her blessing as we learn more about her story. And the group in the tour visited a beautiful abbey in a city called Eisendeln, which is a part of the German area of Switzerland. That monastery is named after St. Mary and St. Maurice. And it's just something beyond your imagination. The abbot of that monastery met the group and gave us a tour and a history of the abbey. But one of the things that he said, on your way into the abbey, okay, we never like imagined we're going to see this beauty, okay? But he said, look, turn off your phones. Hey, don't take pictures. Don't be distracted with the touristic things. And he said that St. Benedict, who is the founder of that monastic order, and that abbey is the place where all the Coptic monks, actually, who serve in the Zurich area, reside. He said St. Benedict, who is the founder of their order, said to them a beautiful saying. He said, let us open our eyes to the divine light, and let us listen with astonished ears to the warning of the divine voice, which daily cries out to us, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So he said to us, open your eyes and have astonished ears. Open eyes, astonished ears. To the messages which Jesus actually is trying to send to you. Don't turn off your eyes. I know in our generation we're so distracted with tourist attractions and thinking about our bills and our jobs. But taking every opportunity when we are in the presence of God to dig deeper into our spiritual lives with open eyes and amazing astonished ears. And that's why we want to say that, you know, we spoke in the beginning about the critics and the wisdom that is justified by all of his children. We want to move away from that model into a different model of astonished ears and open eyes as we seek the Lord. And there are many people who seek him in many different ways. There are people who are like St. Verena, who are more ascetic. They go into the mountains and they want to worship God and meditate. St. Verena also, in the second half of her life, she went into the city, into the town, and started serving the girls and showing them good hygiene and praying for them and healing them. So the second question that we want to ask today, and I hope that if you're just joining us, we're doing groups of twos, maximum of three, to discuss some of these questions. So we'll go to the second question that says, being inspired by the life story of St. Verena, are you more inclined to a life of contemplation, a life of service, or other means of connecting with God? Why is this method appealing to you? So if we can take a minute, please, also to discuss it in our group, that would be great. In today's Catholic Epistle reading, St. James the Apostle revealed to us a beautiful verse that tells us what it means to be an active Christian. Not just an armchair behind the screen critic of everything that happens in the world and the politics and the church and everyone's family. It's to get up and to understand, get up on our feet and to understand what it means to be a Christian living in the world today. James 1:27. pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world means to resist temptation, to resist the evil. There's always going to be challenges that face us. There's always going to be hindrances, whether it's excuses, which could be amazing excuses. It could be disabilities that we have. It could be hindrances from family members, even from church or clergy themselves. But we need to fight the good fight as good stewards of the word, to continue our spiritual journey with Christ, but also to do something positive and active for someone else. Because the Christian journey is not just a selfish journey. But he said to us here to visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble, to be a source of blessing unto others. During the civil rights movement in the 1960s, Martin Luther King Jr. said that we should all be journeying towards justice. We should sprint to it. We should all be so forceful towards human rights and justice and equality for all and love and kindness for every person. If we can't sprint, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But by all means, don't stand still in our place. One of the beautiful stories that I actually got introduced to this last couple of weeks is called A Message to Garcia. And this is a very famous American story, so much inspirational. It actually occurred in the year 1899, at the end, the very last year of the 19th century. An essay was written by Elbert Hubbard, and it has enjoyed so much success because it's based on a true story. The story itself centers around the theme of determination, hard work. And the essay is actually based on the story of a young lieutenant during the Spanish and American War. And this lieutenant, his name is Andrew Summers Rowan. He was sent to Cuba along with an extremely important mission to carry a message to Garcia. That essay revealed the context of Rowan's reasons for delivering the message. As it turns out, Garcia was the leader of the Cuban insurgents. And the president of the United States at that time, William McKinley, he needed Garcia's help for the war effort. Not knowing how to win over the insurgents, it was suggested that someone delivers a very important message to Garcia personally. Rowan was the individual suggested to deliver that important message. All that President McKinley and his advisor knew about Garcia was that he was stationed somewhere in the mountains in Cuba. But Garcia's assistance was vital. And so, with this scant information, Rowan accepted the task without any questions. He took the letter personally from President McKinley and headed to Cuba in an attempt to deliver the president's message. Rowan journeyed alone, took a boat to the coast, and trekked through very dangerous jungles and for the intent of his mission. In time, he found Garcia's hideout in the mountains and delivered the president's message. Rowan's sheer determination and seemingly superhero drive to get the president's message to Garcia, no matter the cost, is the center thrust of Hubbard's essay. Hubbard depicts Rowan as a model for all humans who are on a global scale for all humankind. His acceptance of his task without any fears, his attention to his duty, and his desire to carry out the mission without being afraid or faltering are traits that Hubbard says all young people and older people should follow and to strive for. What a dangerous mission that this young man took, not knowing where Garcia is and traveling in the jungles, facing death. He was determined to reach his goal. And now we come to our third and last question for discussion, which is, as encouraged by A Message to Garcia, what will be some of the challenges that you might face in reaching your spiritual goals, and how will you resolve them? Please take another minute to discuss it in your small groups. My dear friends, our meditation today is entitled, Wisdom is Justified by Her Children. And it's based on the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, 28 to 35, where our Lord Jesus faced so many critics that wanted to hinder him from his work that he's about to accomplish. He said to them, John the Baptist is one of the greatest prophets and you criticize him. The Lord Jesus himself came as someone who is there to heal people and to give hope to people, and you also criticized him. And wisdom is justified by her children. We spoke about mainly three points. The first one is that despite the fact that we are weak people and we have sins, but Jesus came to the world to save sinners, among whom I am chief. And grace is the center point of our relationship with him. But having established this relationship, we must get up from our armchair and start to think about my calling. How am I going to connect with God spiritually as an individual, as a family, and also as a community? Some people are more ascetic, meditative. They stick to the word. Others like to go out and serve. But at the end of the day, we have to use this gift for others, to serve others, not only ourselves, like the model of Saint Verena. But also, there's always going to be hindrances and challenges. We have to brace ourselves as a community to come up much stronger and much greater, because we have strength in numbers. We have one another to support each other along this spiritual journey. And once we are determined, God can do so many amazing things through each and every one of us. I look forward to hearing some of your feedback regarding lecture style versus a more dialogue, conversational style Sunday morning meditation. God bless you, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.